completed. It's appalling, I must admit. It's ridiculous that they haven't got this far, but I just want to thank the legal team, David, Sarah, who've been there from the beginning, John, for his hard work, everyone who's been involved from the start. It's a long, hard road. Everyone on Twitter, supporters of the domain, we couldn't have got anywhere close to where we are now without everyone's help. I want to thank them all. No, it's beyond that, I think, but move on now and maybe switch back to MySpace.
When you look back at all the things that have happened to you, does it seem like a surreal?
Yes, I mean, it's been 2.5 years. It's defined my current relationship, my only relationship.
That was a joke.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to starting our life proper. Lord Justice, he just seemed to get it. I think that's the best way I can put it. The reason we wanted all along.
Can I say, in terms of the law, it is an important decision as far as social networks are concerned and as far as Twitter is concerned. What the judgment has established is firstly that there has to be an action which is menacing to get convicted of this offence, but also it goes further than that. If a person wants to make a joke on Twitter now or any other social network, they have to intend it to be menacing. If they intend it to be a joke or could be taken to intend it to be a joke, then that's not guilty. This is a very big decision for Twitter. It's a very big decision for social networks. It's a very big decision for people being able to be human beings on social networks and do what we all do every now and then, have a joke, even if it's a bad one. And I'm as guilty as that, isn't it? Not in the slightest. We need to emphasise here that both airport security and a lot of common enforcement officers saw what Paul wrote and immediately said it was non-threatening. Immediately were unconcerned about it. The concern here is that something which patently shouldn't have been prosecuted, which patently shouldn't have been opposed in this court, was prosecuted and was opposed. And it may well be the CPS questions to answer in due course about why public money was used to take us this far to the most important court in the country. Yes, indeed, it will apply to the social networks. It's not Twitter-centric. It effectively defines how far we can have a sense of humour on the social networks. And that's very, very, very important indeed, in my view.
Like at the minute, it's just the end of the long row, so I'm not entirely sure. I need to get my head clear and think. I'm just relieved is the overwhelming sensation at the minute. Relieved and thankful. Two jobs lost, unemployable, loss of a living, pretty much, and a lifetime.
Yes, this is a shameful prosecution to never be caught. 2.5 years, CPS have maintained a ridiculous case at taxpayers' expense. The CPS opposed the appeal with the personal decision authority of the prosecutions. There are very serious questions to be answered now by the Director of Public Prosecutions about how this case was able to carry on for 2.5 years and was only eventually ended by a sensible judgment of the High Court given by the Lord Chief Justice. This was never a case that should have been prosecuted to begin with, and it also now makes the offence safe for purpose. Yes, there are menacing communications. This now makes the law safe what that purpose was.
I think that's very important what David's just said. No one here is saying that proper menacing communications should not be prescribed by the law and should not be prosecuted. What happened here is a total failure of common sense as far as Paul was concerned. And as far as we're concerned, we're here. On behalf of our client, we're very angry indeed that public money and expense should have been wasted, quite frankly. In trying to get this man's life back together again. Lost his job, but at least he's found a lovely lady back there.
Mr. Bowen, what's your view freedom of speech?
Well, it's crucial to the issue of freedom of speech. The British pride themselves on having the greatest sense of humour in the world and have demonstrated that by ending up in the Royal Courts of Justice for prosecuting someone over a throwaway remark. I mean, in 100 years' time, there'll be an operetta about this, about how ridiculous we were at the start of the 21st century. They'll be laughing at us for 200 years for this having happened. But it's not funny.
But why did you feel so strongly about?
Well, I rely for a living on telling jokes, some of which are bad, and some of which people don't find funny. One of the risks you run as a comedian is that people may not get the joke. They may get the joke but not like it. They may not like it and not get it either. But the fact is, you should be allowed to say whatever you like. And Paul was just doing what we all do, which is say something in the heat of the moment that didn't mean anything, that was an expression of frustration. And the absurdity of it, I mean, I am a fan of the absurd, but this is taking the biscuit.
Is it interesting that a human rights law came at one
Oh, but we don't have human rights in the UK, don't worry about it. We manage perfectly well without them until now.
We made a capital decision in terms of our presentation of this case, that Article 10 on the facts of this case wasn't going to be. And so we rejigged the arguments and made them more based on criminal actions and criminal mental motivations. We were right to do so, because that's what the case
is. In a typical English legal way, this is a profound freedom of speech judgment which does not mention freedom of speech once. It doesn't mention the Human Rights Act once, but it really is the judgment which makes it easier for people to communicate with each other on the internet. A very sensible and liberal judgment in its way.
There's 15 minutes at the end of my current touring show, which goes out in October, about this very issue.
Well, I won't sit in the front row for that one.
No, you're not. Sorry? No.
Okay, guys.
Okay, thanks very much.